give everybody a few more moments to sign on. Late Night with Lox. Great show. Two of my favorite players are coming on, former players, on a Tuesday night. Once again, can't thank you guys enough for always checking in, logging in. This thing started just as a something to do, and now it's really grown into something I really look forward to doing. Always catching up with former players, current DMV. As I've said before, this isn't just a Maryland show, it's a DMV show. And I know some of my Maryland fans get a little upset when we have certain people on, but I just want to let you know it's a DMV show, but we do a lot of Maryland, all things Maryland, being the head coach. Excited to be able to do this. Let's get started. First of all, I want to welcome everybody back to the Tuesday edition of Late Night with Lox. I can't thank you guys for all the love you continue to show us. We had a great show Friday. I want to thank Dwayne Haskins Jr. for coming on and setting the record straight with us. I look forward to seeing he and my skins do a tremendous job this fall. Loved having him on to be able to kind of set the record straight, as well as having Francis Tiafoe on, one of the rising tennis stars here in the country. Can't thank Francis enough for coming on. Really excited. Love the DMV mentality that he talked about. So again, thank you to Dwayne and Francis for coming on. If you missed the show, again, you can always catch this on NBC Sports Washington, along with our Maryland Athletics YouTube page, as well as Hear the Terps podcast. All three platforms show repeats of Late Night with Lox and a lot of other things Terps. After Late Night with Lox tonight, be sure to tune in. Our players did a community service project on the Gordon Ramsay show tonight. It's going to be on, it's called 24 Hours to Hell and Back on Fox. And you'll see a special show where our players, as part of their community service, went up to Ellicott City and helped rebuild that Main Street area. So again, you want to catch the Terps doing great things in the community. Check out Gordon Ramsay's 24 Hours to Hell and Back on Fox tonight, once this show is over at 8 p.m. I got to always continue to thank all of our frontline workers for the jobs that you guys do. I say this every week, and again, we wouldn't begin to be able to flatten the curve and get through this pandemic if it wasn't for all the frontline workers that continue to put themselves in harm's way to provide for all of us. So a big thank you to all of our frontline workers, our healthcare professionals, as we continue to work through the pandemic. Again, let's get the show started, because my first guest is a guy that I have a long history with, and you've had an opportunity earlier a couple of weeks ago to meet the other half of the Davis brothers. Their roots are deep in the DMV. Dunbar High School grad, a guy that I had the opportunity to recruit to the University of Illinois, represented at a really, really high level there, one of the top corners in all of football, as well as being a first-round draft pick, the 25th pick of the Miami Dolphins, two-time Pro Bowler, two-time first team, all Big Ten. Please help welcome my man Vontae Taser Davis. What's up, Tay?
Lox, what's going on, Lox? Good to see you.
How do you like Lox, the talk show host, man? What do you think?
That's pretty cool. Lox, good to see you.
I got a chance or what, man? I'm trying to make sure I always like you. I know you got a lot of side hustles, so I always try to keep – I got to have a side hustle because I don't know when they're going to bring football back. So I got to do something to pay the bills, right?
Got to stay ahead, man.
So tell us, man, what have you been up to, Tay, with the quarantine? Obviously, you're just kind of entering into retirement. So both Davis brothers are officially retired. We had Duke on a couple weeks ago, and now I know you are in that retirement mode as well, but still doing some really big things. Talk a little bit about what you've been doing during the pandemic and what you got going on in your retirement life.
Well, obviously, Lox, man, I've been, staying healthy, man. I have a good routine. I get up at 6:30 every morning.
Okay.
So I have a little gym at my home. So I get up at 6:30. I try to keep that routine, the same routine I had when I was playing football. So I get up and train at 6:30, man, still eat healthy. So that's how I start my day normally, is getting up and, taking care of my health, my mind, and my body.
Well, I tell you what, talking about eating healthy. I follow you, as I do all my former players and current players on social media. And I know that Miss Meg lays it out, man. I see all the different little meals, and y'all eating pretty healthy, but eating pretty good down there in Miami.
No, absolutely. Like, hey, she's whipping it up, Locks. You know, it started at home.
No doubt. Absolutely. So now, football's done, man. What have you been up to? I know you got a lot of little projects, but you got a couple that I know I've witnessed and see. Talk a little bit about some of these big projects that you've got going on as you transition into the real world, as I like to call it, or the business world. What's happening with you, and how have you transitioned into the real world?
Well, my transition has been very smooth for me. You know, I obviously been working on a children's book. So that's what I've been working on as soon as I retire. You know, since I had time to really sit back, you know, and reflect on what I wanted to do, you know, obviously I wanted to give back to my community. And, you know, the best way to do that was, you know, I obviously put my story in a children's book.
Right. Which I was fortunate you dropped off to for my two grandsons, Mason and Milo, which I appreciate. It's called Middle School Rules, man. And, you know, I went through the book, and for Christmas, I re-gifted them, as you asked me to my grandsons. Talk a little bit about, because when you read the book and as you go through it, I mean, it really talks a lot about, basically, it's almost like what you went through from a middle school perspective and how you were able, you know, I know your background, I know Miss Adeline, I know the family dynamics, and how you and the see you and both you and Duke both go to college, both make great careers out of the NFL, but then also transition to the other world. Talk a little bit about what the book talks about.
Well, the book focused on just, you know, adversities growing up, you know, as a child. And I was fortunate to have my brother, Vernon. As you know, like most kids growing up in a household, you know, don't have a sibling they can lean on. You know, he motivated me throughout the process. But at the end of the day, I also had my grandmother, who was very tough on me and Vernon. So the book talks about stories throughout my childhood and, you know, key lessons I learned growing up that really, you know, it's a solid foundation for me now in my life.
Right. And then you also have another project, which I saw, the V-Zone. Talk a little bit about your, it's a wellness center, wellness clinic. Like, what's the basis, or what was the basis behind the V-Zone? Because you always were a guy, you know, I remember recruiting you. You always were a guy that took great care of your body. You ate healthy. I remember we had the scrimmage in Chicago, and, you know, after the scrimmage, we typically give you the fried Chick-fil-A sandwich to the players, and we had to stop the bus and pull over and get a grilled Chick-fil-A sandwich instead of the fried Chick-fil-A because you didn't eat fried food. So talk a little bit about the V-Zone and what's that all about.
Well, you know, V-Zone is basically, you know, it's a holistic wellness spa. So basically just using different therapies to naturally heal the human body at a cellular level. So I've been focused on that, you know, obviously retirement for football, you know, you hear a lot of things about guys, you know, and their health long-term, CTE and just other effects, physical, you know, effects from the game. Right. So that always been in the back of my head. And V-Zone became another passion for me to work on and obviously, you know, bring forth another way of naturally healing the human body.
Got it, man. Well, it's great to hear all these stories. I want to take you back to one of my favorite stories, which would have been the recruiting process. I can remember having recruited Vernon to Maryland, and then I embarked on recruiting you to the University of Illinois. And because of that, it happened, in about a 4 or 5 year window between you and Vernon. And I can remember Miss Adeline being in the middle saying, "Now, how are you going to tell me that Maryland is good for Duke, but now you're telling me Illinois is good for Vontae?" And I said, "Well, look, Miss Adeline, it's because of where I am. I'm going to take care of him like you want me to." And, you know, I left Duke at Maryland, and he has done great things, and I'm going to do the same thing for Vernon. And she was – or for Vontae, and she was not having it. Now, I remember Chick Hernandez, who was up here at the time, and he was interviewing you when you made your commitment to Illinois, and Grandma Adeline was not real happy about the Illinois decision. And, you know, I know for a lot of people here locally, you leaving and going to Illinois also, Chris. So this is the DMV show and not just the Maryland show. So, like, talk a little bit about the recruiting process and what went into the thoughts behind the decision to come to Illinois?
Well, Lars, I have to say my hat goes off to you, man. For you to be able to convince my grandmother, you know, that was tough to do, man.
I don't know if I convinced her, because she gave me one thing. She said, all I know is he better go to church every Sunday. And you have to go on record that I'm not come get you. And we went to church to see Pastor Grogan every Sunday.
You did, every Sunday. You came and knocked on that door.
Even when you tried to duck me out. And I was like, Miss Adeline ain't going to call and check to see if you was in church. But talk a little bit about what went into your decision, because obviously having a brother that played here in Maryland, played locally, you had the opportunity to come to Maryland. They maybe started a little late in the process on you, but what went into your mindset to make the decision to go, you know, to Illinois?
Well, obviously, you know, Coach, I have to say you was a big part of that, you know. You were somebody that I've had trust in, you know, to go that far away from home. So, I mean, and that right there, I was like, you know, I would have went to Maryland. But because you came in and you're somebody from the DMV area that is very relatable to guys that come from very, you know, tough backgrounds. Right. And I felt comfortable going that far away from home.
Well, I'll never forget the game you came to. And this is what sold me on you as a competitor. You were on your official visit, and we got beat 63-0 to Penn State that night. I don't know if you recall.
Yeah.
And I remember you coming up into the office after the game, and I looked at you and I said, look, Tate, but this is why we're recruited. I think that was our first year. So I recruited you in year two, and I said, look, that's why I'm recruiting you. And your Vontae, you said, oh, hell, Lux. I'm coming. I know I can play you. Within 2 years, we're playing in the Rose Bowl because guys like you made decisions to take a chance and go to a program that wasn't established just yet. Talk a little bit about that fulfillment of being part of building a program, which is what we're trying to do here at Maryland right now, and how that affected everything that you're doing even in business now.
Well, I mean, you know, you're doing something that nobody, you know, thought that could be done, you know? So you're a part of a program trajectory. So when we turn Illinois around, nobody thought that could be done. And a lot of guys on that team, we all believed in that locker room. And that's the thing about football. It builds that camaraderie. And all you got to do is believe, and, you know, you got to work together. And you can do anything you want, man. You got a core of guys that believe one mission and one goal.
Well, that's but I mean, I tell people a lot about, I talk about this recipe, and I can remember a lot of the things as we're trying to build the Maryland program now, a lot of the same selling points, you know, that I talk to guys about, you know, building something with your hand as opposed to buying it already put together. And you lived that part, man. And it was so rewarding as a coach to see, like, we had 18 guys, I think, from this area that came out that way. That were part of the year three, we went to the Rose Bowl. Now, again, I'm not going to tell you that I knew that it would happen that fast, but it took a lot of guys like you and Aurelius Ben and Nate Busty and Ian Thomas, a lot of these guys from this area that made choices to go to a place that wasn't already established, but it really showed a lot about the type of character that you guys had. I'll never forget the Rose Bowl game and the trip and winning some really big games that year. And just the role that, I mean, you came in and played as a true freshman. I mean, I think you started every game from the time you stepped on campus, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, again, another great example, man. The transition obviously has been going well for you from, you know, college to the NFL. Talk a little bit. I asked Vernon this because, I'm always intrigued having recruited sets of brothers. Our coach recruited Stephon here, and then I had Trayvon at Alabama. Talk a little bit about, you mentioned it earlier, what it was like growing up with Vernon. And then, you know, he was on the show a few weeks ago, and he talked about waking you up for workouts, and you talked about leaning on him. And talk a little bit about that experience and what you took from having a brother, like you said, that you could lean on.
Well, I knew he seen the potential in me, you know. So, but at the end of the day, I had to work. I had to put in my own work, you know. He was his own man. I was my own man.
Right.
So the day I took responsibility for my own actions, that's when I was able to become who I was as a person, you know? Right. So it was great having him because even in the league, I could always lean on him. Whether it had to, if something came up, I can call, you know, ask him questions that I didn't know. You know, he was very open to helping me. And today we still have a close bond, you know, as brothers.
No doubt, man. And I know this, there's nobody more proud than Miss Adeline to know that her grand boys from Emerson Street and what you both have accomplished. But, you know, it's tough being a younger brother and having to live under that shadow of, you know, Vernon, and then you went and carved your own niche, pro bowler, signed one of the biggest contracts for a cornerback when you were in Indy, finished your career, obviously, with Buffalo, man, and, you know, now doing great things, transitioning into the real world, as I like to call it. Well, here's what I'm going to tell you. You and May, if y'all do decide to have a boy, he has a scholarship offer right now because I know them Davis jeans are the real deal. And so, yeah, if y'all decide to have a boy, I want to make his first scholarship offer available wherever I'm coaching. Hopefully, it's right here at Maryland and find a way to get another Davis boy because both you guys have done a tremendous job, took full advantage where you had every opportunity to maybe go left. You boys went right and just have made me very proud as a guy that recruited and coached you and to see the men you guys become, the husbands. The fathers that you guys have become, it's the rewarding part of what I do for a living. So congrats on the retirement. Congrats on the children's book, man. If you guys don't have it, it's called The Middle School Rules by Vontae Davis. I think it's a great book for kids growing up in major inner city metropolitan areas. A great book that I think we all should get, man. So best of luck. If you need anything, you know where you can find me, man. Good talking to you, Tay.
Thanks, Lyle. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No doubt. Vontae Davis, another, like I said, another one of those guys that when you get into the coaching profession, you do it, you know, just for that reward of seeing this, man. I can remember an unsure 18-year-old showing up in Champaign, Illinois, and leaving a grown man and just to see the man he's become, really, really happy for Vontae Davis. And obviously, I can't say enough about their grandma, Miss Adeline, and the job she did raising all eight of the kids. And again, excited. We'll keep moving on to the next guest. And the next guy is a Maryland guy, so our DMV people should be happy. And I can remember the day he came to then Bird Stadium, now Maryland Stadium, for a summer camp workout. And I think I've told this story. He came, attended from Western Maryland at Fort Hill High School, came down for one of those camps where we just have a lot of players show up, and he had already been an established guy. He was a guy that was the all-area high school football player, made all-state coming out of high school, averaged a whopping 9.1 yards per rushing attempts during his career here. But I can never forget the day he came in and ran his 40 time. And kind of an unknown local recruit that just goes to show you, if you're a local recruit and you come to camps, they usually work out. If you're good enough, we'll find you. And he ran one of the fastest times I've ever clocked. It almost reminded me very eerily similar to when Steve Suter came and did the same thing. And I think he ran like a high 4.3, a low 4.4. We didn't believe it. We were like, hey, do it again. I think our clocks were off. Ran it again. And I'll never forget Randy Edsel took him up in his office, offered. He committed, an in-state guy, had a great career here at the University of Maryland. 4.3 guy, was a sixth-round pick of the Detroit Lions last season and ended up having a great rookie year. And we're expecting a lot of big things out of Ty Johnson as he embarks on year two of his NFL career. Let's bring on Ty Johnson if we possibly can. As we wait for Ty to maybe pop up here, I'll answer a couple questions. I know that we had some people ask a few things. It says, what are my plans on continuing this show permanently? Well, I can tell you right now, we won't continue this show permanently because once football starts, and obviously we're a little bit behind the eight ball in that we didn't get spring ball or spring practices. The best you'll be able to do is catch me on Thursday nights on you know, our show that we have with Johnny Holiday every Thursday during the season. So it'll be a little tough to do this permanently just because of the time restriction that we'll have, obviously, with trying to catch up with our season and get our guys prepared. A couple other things that came up, it says, as a coach, what's the hardest part about being in quarantine? Oh, look who pops up.
What's up, man? How you doing?
You saved me from having to answer the hardest thing about being in quarantine. For you, I would say it's getting a haircut.
Hey, man, it's protection right here. What you mean? Come on now.
Ty, man, what's happening? What's been going on? Like, I like to always start off by asking, with the quarantine going on, obviously you just finished your rookie year. What have you been doing during the quarantine, man? Staying in shape? Taking online classes. What's happening with Ty Johnson? Where are you living? What are you doing?
So I'm back in Maryland right now, at my mom's crib, you know what I'm saying? I just got back in from Texas. I was in outside of Dallas and Frisco. I was training out there with CJ ProSice and my trainer and everything. And, you know, just finally got back, keeping the schedule going, PT 3 times a week, you know, taking care of the body, working out whenever I can, you know, getting kicked off of fields and stuff like that. But, you know,
and they don't kick Ty Johnson off West Maryland fields, though, right?
Man, they
probably got fields named after you out there, man.
Nah, man, I had the cops call on me multiple times about it. Can't be here. You gotta get off the field, all that. But
that part of the state is one of the most loyal parts of the state you could possibly have for Maryland football and for football in general, man. Talk a little bit about growing up over there in Western Maryland, and you know. Do you remember the recruiting story? You remember when you came down to the camp?
Oh, yeah, man. I remember Coach Will, he came to Fort Hill and was like, hey, when you need to come out to the Maryland camp. And I actually only been to 2 camps ever. Well, 3, but 2 of them were the Maryland camps back-to-back years. And I went to a Nike football camp. But the only college camp I ever went to was a Maryland football camp. And I remember, you know, Coach Will saw me. He was like, all right, man, glad you're here. What's up? And I was like, what's up, man? I showed up ready, man. I had my little visor on and everything. I was like, oh, yeah, it's going to be a good day. But, yeah, just ran. And then I remember you, Coach Will, everybody was like, can you run that 40 again? I was like, sure. I
was wrong with my watch. I was like, no, man, this kid, where's this kid from? And then we made you run it again. And it was like, for me, it was like deja vu because I think I told you the story how Steve Suter, who played here for us, did the same thing and became one of our best return men to ever play here. And obviously, you had a great, great career here, man. So what was the transition like for you, Ty? 6th-round pick of the Lions, going from Maryland to the Lions. What was that transition like, and what was the difference?
I mean, obviously, when you get to that next, every single level you get up to, from high school to college, college to NFL, you know, the game always picks up. It always gets faster, you know. But just the difference was just that preparation, man. You got guys that are trying to make a team, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, only 53 guys are going to be on a roster. Just being about your business. That's what Bo says, Bo Scarborough. Every single time he's in the room, he's be about your business. And it's just being a pro at the end of the day, you know, and just picking up, making, slowing down the game. And I mean, granted, everyone always asks me, you know, like, how's it being hit by, you know, Khalil Mack, Leonard Floyd, Tahir Whitehead. I'm like, man, like, they're a man, I'm a man, you know. But that's really the preparation and just being about your business and realizing, like, it is a business also at the end of the day. It's a kid's game that I'm blessed to play, but I get paid to do it, you know. So it was just one of those things where it finally clicked for me, like going into camp, seeing a few of the running backs that were ahead of me get cut and everything. And I was like, whoa, like my preparation needs to even pick up more. So that was the biggest part for me, because taking care of the body and studying everything, those habits were always there. It was just had to ramp it up, you know, to another level.
Right. And I know having had you as a freshman, you came onto the scene at Maryland as a freshman, and we put you in some situations and you always showed up. I remember the Rutgers game you had there for our last or my first win as a head coach. People don't understand. My first one as a head coach here at Maryland was the Rutgers game when I was the interim. And you had a big time game, and that game took 2 long ones to the house. I can remember that. I want to say it was like either the Purdue game. Like, you always just made plays as a freshman. And was that similar for you this year? I know your rookie year was kind of, sometimes you played, sometimes you didn't. How did you work through that part, especially, I mean, you're a guy, you played in a crowded backfield throughout your career here, but you always carved out a niche for yourself to where you created opportunities. How was that for you as a rookie?
I mean, it's rough, obviously. Like you said, you always compete and everything, you know what I'm saying? But it was just whenever the opportunity is given, you just got to run with it and don't give it back, you know what I'm saying? And it was just always trying to find a way. I remember Coach Kasky, the current running back coach right now for, Detroit, and Coach Patricia, Bob Quinn, the GM, everybody was like, first thing you need to do is, like, to get on the field. Like, we need to make sure you can protect the quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Like, if Stafford goes down, you're out, you know what I'm saying? So,
no doubt,
you
got to take care of that quarterback.
That was like just the first step for me to get to that level, really. And it was just any chance I had a chance to do something, it was just make something happen, whether it's get a dirty four on a wide zone or make sure I'm picking up a scan or a nickel wheel blitz or the mic coming through anything or having to go block Cleo Mack off the edge when we gap down or something like that. It was just no matter what, just make sure I'm putting good film out there so I can carve my way out to get more playing time on the field and also special teams, you know, like it's when you're a rookie, you're going to play special teams, you know, unless you like the first pick first, you know, all first round, all that, you're going to play special teams in some way, you know.
We talk about the value of being a special teams player. I know you always contributed as a special teams player here, whether it was a returner, a gunner. I mean, you were a guy that contributed pretty early in your career. So I hope some of you young players, and if any of our current players hear this, they need to understand that, you know, playing special teams, whether you're a second-round pick, third-round pick, is really important for you, especially in that transition. All right, now talk a little bit about being a local guy. Did you grow up a Terp fan?
I did. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. I liked Oklahoma. I did because my whole family was Maryland Redskins, you know what I'm saying, that whole niche and everything. But, you know, I liked Oklahoma, Adrian Peterson, Sam Bradford. Those were the guys. I was like, you know.
Don't say that too loud because we got some things going on with that school that you just named.
Hey, but man.
One thing you did do, though, growing up in Western Maryland is you came and rep for the Terps. And talk a little bit about what it meant for you to play here at home for your hometown team that you liked a little bit better than Oklahoma. Let me fix that. I'm going to clean it up.
I mean, it's the hometown, you know what I'm saying, putting on for the state, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, other than Maryland, Coach Etzel, you guys giving me that opportunity to be there, you know, you guys are my only offer at the end of the day, you know? So, you know, y'all putting that belief in me and having that unwavering belief in me, you wanted me to just put all I can out for Maryland and Western Maryland. And the day I remember the day I got, you know, my offer, everyone back home was like, yo, is this real? You know, what's going on? Like the team period during school the next day, you know, they were like, yo, like, this is crazy, you know? And I was just like, hey man, it just meant a lot. Cause I had a lot of support. I still do now, just having that support and having that foundation that helped me keep moving forward.
Gotcha. Well, before I let you go, I'll leave you with this, dude. Having played here, and obviously, like, you played for, you know, Coach Etzel, you played for DJ Durkin. Did you feel like the Maryland program prepared you to be successful in the NFL and even life after football?
Oh, of course. You know, during my whole career there, we've always done, you know, life after football. We've always had, you know, people come in. I know you've had lots of people come in, just talk to a player about life after football. And it really helps you out. And I know, like, a lot of people are like, you know, it's Maryland, this and that, but at the end of the day, Maryland made me into the man I am today, you know, with the practice, how we practice, you know what I'm saying? Like, practice is brutal, you know what I'm saying? And just the people you're around from the, you know, the education standpoint with the, you know, the guidance counselors, you have your teachers in there, you have everybody in there, study hall. It just helps you become a better person. And I'm not going to lie, man, like, it was just crazy just being able to have, you know, you, Coach Etzel, Durkin, even Coach Canada as a little bit as an interim. It all helped out because, you know, it helped me adapt, you know what I'm saying? And the thing Coach Patricia says now is adapt or die, you know what I'm saying? Like, you just got with quick change, you got to adapt quick, you know what I'm saying? And all those different transitions definitely helped me transition to where I'm at now and learning different playbooks. I know it took me a whole season just to learn your playbook, you know what I'm saying, my freshman year, because I came from a wing T offense in high school. I knew nothing but slot right and then 29 sweep. That's it, you know? I didn't know any protections or nothing.
Here's the good thing. I'm here for a long, long time. As you know, this is the job that I've always wanted. I'm really excited about being the head coach here at the University of Maryland. My team, I grew up a Turk fan, huge mm-hmm. Turk fan. They were pretty good when I was a kid growing up. So I'm hoping that this stability now kind of allows us to go out. And I know that Western Maryland area has a ton of really good football players, man. And we will come out there. We will recruit every school in this state. And, again, this is an example. A guy that had no offers but Maryland and maybe some smaller schools of if you just do your homework as a coach, you go and every school in the state of Maryland should have a Maryland coach through there at least once a year. And that's mm-hmm. one of the things I mandated of our coaching staff. I mean, it's like I want to say over 350 schools in this state that play mm-hmm. football. Once a year, there's going to be a coach from the University of Maryland that comes through because we can't let the Ty Johnsons of the world end up in West Virginia or one of those other schools. So we got to do our part, but I just love hearing your story because here's an example of a guy that wasn't a five-star, four-star guy, but got drafted in the sixth round, is making a living playing football, has prepared himself for life with or without the football because of the strength and the network that the University of Maryland has to offer. And, man, you're a great representative of us, and I couldn't be more excited for you and your mom, man. I know how tight y'all are.
Yeah, she's right here to my right, you know what I'm saying?
Tell her I said what's happening. And you know, man, if you ever need a place, I can't let you on our fields either, Ty. I'll get fired. So, but when we do open this thing up, you always come home and train with us. You got the door's always open, man. Former Turf, this is your program. So all wish right, you man. Luck. Stay healthy. And when this thing opens up, man, come down and see us.
I appreciate it, man. I hope you're staying so healthy and the family staying healthy. And I hope to see you soon, man.
We are. Great yes, to talk sir. To you, Ty.
Nice talk to you,
Carlton, another great Turk, man, a great representative of our university, doing big things in the NFL, Detroit Lions. What a great story. A Western Maryland kid, no offers, not a lot of stars, and still we found him. And he took full advantage of every opportunity that he had here, and it's paid off really well for him. Well-spoken. Great to have Ty Johnson. I want to thank Vontae Davis and Ty Johnson again for their time, because as we like to say, time is our most valuable commodity we have. And so when people give it to you, they're giving you something of great value. I want to thank you, our viewers and our listeners, for being here tonight. I look forward to seeing you guys Friday night. Another great show, Late Night with Locke, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time.